Who's Uzbekistan? Where's Uzbekistan? Why Uzbekistan? How's Uzbekistan? Beck is in Uzbekistan. What's going good and what's going bad? As she's live from Tashkent, Uzbekistan, in the heart of Central Asia. Bum bum ba bum, episode 17. Who's Becca Stand? Okay. So I'm on the big wind down. So in less than 2 weeks, season 3 of Who's Becca Stand will be coming to a conclusion. But for now, let's see, what am I excited about? What am I puzzled by? And how long do I plan to stay? What am I excited about? So, I'm from a city of about 300,000 people, and by American standards, it's classified as a small city. You know, it's not, it's not rural, but it's also not a major metropolitan area, but it does have a downtown where you have to parallel park, and there are skyscrapers, and that is my definition of a city. Okay, so, but to the letter of the law, I actually wasn't born there. That was my mother's hometown, and her family was from all there, but I actually was born about an hour away in a small town in a more rural area, and I lived there until I was 10 years old, but I don't consider myself from there, even though that's where I technically was born. Okay, so, you know, when I had to leave the small town when I was 10 years old, I was devastated. Because I was 10 years old, and I'm leaving my little friends, and, you know, in the eyes of a 10-year-old, moving an hour away might as well be moving to the moon. Okay, so, I was devastated. Probably as soon as maybe 16... So, 6 years later, but a big difference between being 10 and being 16. I'm going to say 16, plus or minus. I already began to be very, very thankful that I had gotten out of the small town and was in the big metropolis of 3,000 people. I don't know what the population was at that time, but you know what I mean. And I just already saw that I was just having a lot more opportunities with music and, yeah, exposure to art and culture, exposure to different backgrounds, you know, went to a very urban, artsy high school. And, you know, even at that point, I could really see that, you know, my life was really being enhanced, being in a bigger, more dynamic area. Okay. And so that sort of appreciation continued on through my, you know, through my whole life. And, you know, comparing my experiences to people who were from, you know, from smaller areas, you know, I had just really just done a lot more and been exposed to a lot more. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being from a rural area, but I'm just saying being from a bigger area just inherently provides more exposure to stuff. Okay. Flash forward, okay, so now I live in a bona fide city of, I think it's like 3 million people, so not, that wouldn't be like a mega city, but yeah, like it is a city, it has a metro, and I just think, and I'm in the capital, of course, and I just think about, like, you know, like there's a lot of hotels here, and like, the average reception staff at these hundreds of hotels in town has some English in varying degrees. I would say some of which have quite good English. I would say some, you know, half English, but, you know, whatever. You know, exposure to so many different international people here. Like, there's the big Indian population, the big Turkish population, Afghans. I'm not sure what all else. In addition to, you know, the Western, you know, Westerners who live here. And, you know, this week or this couple weeks is the International Jazz Festival. You know, there's big dance festivals. And I'm not even sure what all else. And I mean, I'm just thinking about like a child or a teenager growing up in a capital city is, of course, there are exceptions, but is more or less going to just inherently have more exposure to more interesting stuff. And whether that's more diverse people, art and culture, sports activities, whatever. And, you know, and just how that shapes people, you know, compared with, you know, being from a rural area. And there's nothing wrong with being from a rural area, but I just see how there just really is more exposure and more opportunities or different opportunities being in a more metropolitan area. So my little difference between being from a town and a city of 300,000 people was big in my mind. You know, and I'm just trying to put that on a bigger scale of like being from the literal village or, you know, from the city of 3 million people and just how that affects, you know, how your worldview and your skill set is affected by that. I don't know how to put any of that in a coherent form, but for some reason that's what I'm thinking about. And, you know, just grateful I had the chance to come of age in a dynamic community that really set the stage, you know, for the rest of my life. And, yeah, I mean, and then grateful I'm getting to live in a, you know, dynamic, interesting area here in Uzbekistan, Tashkent. Friday night, I went to the jazz festival. It was fantastic. The performer was of Switzerland's citizenship, but she was like maybe like half Japanese, half Polish. She had a very interesting background. Yeah, and just, I mean, it was, you know, free. So, yeah, I mean, just being able to take advantage of opportunities like that is absolutely my goal. And, I mean, I've talked about this before. I mean, then exposure to stuff that I wouldn't have chosen as a hobby, but just sort of presents itself here. I didn't do any this year, but like last year I went to some hockey games. And those of you who know me personally know I have absolutely no interest in sports. But you know, but yeah, but I enjoyed some hockey games, you know, went with friends and, you know, it was just something to do here. Because, yeah, there's just such wide choices of activities. Last week I went to the Rhythmic Gymnastics World Cup. It was fascinating. I just went for one afternoon. And, I mean, it was just like TV, and I just can't wait to figure out if any of the athletes that I saw last week will be in the Olympics. So, yeah, I mean, just being able to pop over to the World Cup of Rhythmic Gymnastics on any given Sunday afternoon and just see, you know, world-class talent. So, yeah, and then how that shapes people who are from here. Anyway, I know that's rambling and off topic here, but anyway, moving on. What am I puzzled by? Okay. So, in general, cultures are classified as either individualistic or collectivist. One is not good, one is not bad, they're just different, okay? I am from an individualistic society. America is pretty high as, I don't know if it's the highest individualistic society, but it's pretty high when the countries are ranked. And I am living and working and teaching and trying to function in a society that is very collectivist. Very, very high collectivism. And, you know, the differences can sound trite when you say them. Like, oh, individuals are concerned about the needs of the individuals. Collectivists are concerned about the needs of the group. And, you know, the things sound simple when you say them, but the implications of how these things play out are big. And, you know, the biggest lesson I learned living in China is when we talk about cultural, celebrating diversity or cultural differences, like before I lived overseas, I mean, I thought that was about eating Chinese food and celebrating a Chinese holiday or, you know, maybe looking at some arts and culture from China or something like that. No, 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 no. Cultural differences are about the ways that societies operate. And they're very, very different. How relationships are maintained and formed, how information is communicated, Yeah, just how things are prioritized, how things are organized. I mean, it's just really our societies function differently at a core level. And then the question becomes, well, as a person from an individualistic culture, not only how can I function in a collective society, but how can I lead people in a collective society as a teacher? And I would just really like to know if there's any, surely there's research done on that, and I would like to read some articles and suggestions about it. Because, yeah, dealing with people from vastly different cultural mindsets and then how to lead them is a tall order. And, you know, is a tall order. I mean, the driving style is completely different. American driving style is based on, I need to watch out for me. Defensive driving, is it clear for me? I need to watch for myself all the time. Collectivist driving is about, we're going to work together. We're going to all pile up in this intersection. And if it's clear for you, it's clear for me because someone else is going to look out for me. And I mean, there are ways that can be very lovely, you know. But there's ways it's not lovely also. And, you know, this is just my personal experience. People are free to disagree with me. But my just boilerplate example of what it's like to teach collectivists is, you know, there'll be some kind of an issue. I will say, this is what you're expected to do. Don't do la 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 la. What you're supposed to do is la 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 la, okay? If you do la 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 when I told you not to, you are going to get a low score, okay? And then I do it, and then they're mad at me. So it's like, yeah. So it's the classic equation is, I told you what not to do. You did it anyway. I told you what would happen if you did it. And I followed through on what I said, and now you're mad at me. You know, I had a class. The direction said, make an outline. I told you make an outline. You put it in paragraphs. I told you if you put it in paragraphs, I was going to mark your grade down. You don't get to be mad at me. I told you I take it off your participation grade if you do not attend on time. You did not attend in time. On time, I lowered your participation grade. Now you're mad at me. AI. I told you, don't use AI. If you use AI, you will have a low score. You used AI, you have a low score, and now you're mad at me. And so it's like I just don't know what to do to break free from that pattern or have more efficient ways to deal with it. But because I'm not going to have in a collectivist society, I'm not going to have a problem with a student. I'm going to have a problem with a class. There's not going to be, or rarely, going to be like an outlier who just went rogue. No, if there's a problem, it's going to be like half of them. I could go on and on, but some of this may start sounding a little bit politically incorrect. But again, and it's just then like, okay, well then, everybody's favorite advice to give when you're teaching in a different culture is be flexible. Okay, well, be flexible is code word for lower your standards and let them do what they want. Okay? So let's just have a free-for-all where, hey, AI is rampant. Hey, submit the assignments any way you want to. Hey, come anytime you want because it's your choice. It's their choice. This was at my previous employer here. The tagline was always, well, it's their choice. It's their choice. It's their choice. Okay, well, if it's your choice, then you don't get to be mad at me when I told you not to do it and you did it anyway. Then you don't get to be mad at me. So, again, hard to put this in a politically correct format and very succinctly, but I think you see where I'm going with it. So, that's puzzling. yeah, I would be curious to hear from people who feel like they've been successful in navigating maintaining expectations while teaching in a collectivist society from an individualistic society person. Again, one is not good, one is not bad, they're just different. There's certainly, and I think the question would be interesting to ask someone from a collectivist society who teaches in an individualistic society, what patterns have they noticed, you know, and how does that affect them? I think that'd be a fantastic way to analyze the situation. I'll have to think of anyone I know in that situation. But anyway, moving on to question three, how long do I plan to stay? Well, I'll put it like this, I'm packing up my hotel room. And I'm leaving my stuff here. I'm only taking home, thinning out some things that I don't use here, and then taking home a few things that I want for the summer. My current employer just doesn't have acceptable HR practices, and they just don't line up things properly in advance. And some of that's because it's, you know, based on enrollment, but, you know, it is a hot mess, and it is frustrating, but I can't control it. So I'm just having to take a big old leap of faith that I will be back next year here as planned, because I certainly want to. I've had a lot of fun recently. I've done a lot of fun activities. I enjoy my friends and community here. I am sad about, you know, some of the people who are leaving in this transient population, but you know, others will move in, and, you know, hopefully I'll just continue to, you know, feel connected here and a part of the international community in the way that I do now. So, you know, I'm very optimistic for the future. Okay, so, excited about living in a dynamic area, puzzled by how to effectively lead collectivists, and rolling enthusiastically toward next year, though I don't have any hard confirmation. Okay, whoever you are, wherever you're listening, thank you for supporting me on my journey in Central Asia. And in less than 2 weeks, season 3 will come to a close.